two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit. It was soon apparent that they weren't going to make it. Terrified, one shouted out to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored the companion. "The bull's catching up to us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Thankfulness seems to be a lost art today. Warren Wiersbe illustrated the problem in his commentary on the book of Colossians, and he told about a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, who was part of a life-saving squad. In 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston, and Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever thanked him. Thanksgiving. Three concepts this morning that I have called the three wall plaques of life. Wall plaques we hang up because they mean something to us. They are there to remind us of what really is important in our lives. I put one up here in front of me. I have this hanging in my office. There's another one very similar to it, laying on a stack of file folders that says, "No whining." And it is not just for me. It is for others who may walk into my office, but it most certainly is for me. Three areas that influence our lives, not just clever sayings, but three important influences. This morning, I'm going to tell you where we're going, and then we're going to go there, and then I'm going to tell you where we've gone. Three important influences that really do make a difference, and that's why I want to call them wall plaques. The first one is that power is all of God. Like control of circumstances. We need power, overcoming difficulty, living with disappointment, ability to live life that honors God, and to take that strength and that power, because it requires that power. The second one, the second one is worry. I have it up here. It's a huge influence in all of our lives from time to time. And it doesn't need to be, but too often it is. And the third one is God's will. It is simpler than we think, making decisions, sometimes life-changing decisions, and making the right ones. Three passages of Scripture, actually four we'll go to, because two of them, it'll take two of them to take care of number one on the power. But one truth that helps in understanding and living out each of these passages, and that truth is Thanksgiving. It is that important. It influences all of our lives. Let me begin it with a prayer. Father, I pray for your guidance and your direction this morning as we simply thank you and we focus on Thanksgiving and not just an idle word, but thanks to you. And we give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' precious name. Number one, I put it up here in the sense of some kind of a plaque, right? We're looking at wall plaques, something that means something. The first one is power is all of God. It's all God's power. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is New Testament. It's after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then it's after Acts and Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It is the second one in a Budak called Go Eat Popcorn. Most of you have probably heard that. I did not make up that Budak, but it's a good one. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and we'll go to a couple of those today. But I want you in Ephesians, and I want you in Ephesians chapter 5, because Ephesians chapter 5 is talking about the power source to live out the Christian life. And it starts in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. As alcohol is often referred to as liquid courage, so the Holy Spirit is God courage. We can do anything with the God, with the power that He supplies. We can rise up above those people that hate us and love them back. We can endure sorrow and rejoice in God through it. We can overcome obstacles that used to get us down and rob us of happiness. The common thread, always giving thanks for all things. Now, if you are confused as to what does it mean being filled with the Spirit, I want you to take you to a second passage. And it's the two books to the right from where you are in Ephesians. It's go eat popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I want you in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It's a parallel passage to the Ephesians 5:18 passage. I believe that Paul wrote both of these books probably at the same time while he was in prison. But Colossians 3:16 goes this way. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. He included many of the same things in both his letters in Ephesians and Colossians. And he worded it, however, a little bit different in Colossians than he did in the book of Ephesians. He says, be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians, but he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in Colossians. Now, I say that these fit together because the fruit of them, the responses, the results of them are almost identical. Here's the Colossians passage. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, teaching, admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The Ephesians passage, be filled with the Spirit. The fruit of that, the results of it, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. They are so very similar. Singing with thankfulness. It's easy to do when life is rosy, but what about when life sucks, when nothing is going right? These things never happen to Christians and believers and good people, right? Nonsense. It happens all the time for the best of people and the most godly of people. We go through real struggles and really difficult times. They happen for everybody. But by the power that God supplies, we can be thankful through it. We can be thankful anytime. Being filled with the Spirit bears the same fruit as letting the Word richly dwell within you. Now, that word for dwell in that Colossians 3 passage, it really literally is the word for home and a little word in front of it, in home. Let the Word be at home in your life, comfortable with it, used to it, where we know it, we read it, we spend time with it, we contemplate it, we memorize it, we wrestle with it, we argue with it, but we keep coming back to the Word when it is at home in your life. Now, both of those, whether it's being filled with the Spirit, not alcohol, but God's Spirit, and when the Word of God is at home, they're both controlled by thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a key term in both of them. This is the power to live the Christian life, the Holy Spirit with the Word, governed by thanksgiving. Irma Bombeck, Red Book Magazine, this was in 1992, she said, an estimated 1.5 million people are living today, and I'm sure it's a lot more than that today, with bouts of breast cancer. And every time I forget to feel grateful to be among them, I hear the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina, who had cancer of the nervous system. When asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard and finally said, "I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything." How precious is that? Being filled with God's Spirit. There is a second wall plaque, and it's that worry is not of God. Well, power is all of God, but worry is not of God. And I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Back one book of Go Eat Popcorn. And we want the popcorn one, which is Philippians. And I want you in Philippians 4:6. Perhaps one of the most frequently gone to verses to live and attack and overcome and handle the Christian life is in Philippians 4:6. "Finally, brethren," no, that's 8, "be anxious for nothing." Translated, don't worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Worry can be huge. It is so debilitating. It robs us of joy. It has such power, but it is not of God. Therefore, it is less powerful than God. And this verse reminds us that we need not ever worry. Seriously, you don't ever need to worry. I think sometimes we tell ourselves, well, you know, I just should worry about this. Or I can't help but worry about this. Or I ought to be worrying about this. Or no, we ought not. We need never have to worry. We need to deal with things. It doesn't mean we ignore things. It just means instead of worrying, we turn around and prayer. But prayer with what? You guessed it, thanksgiving. Let's say our worry right now, just one thing that you could worry about, a loved one who is sick, or a loved one that's ready to die. Peggy Emick's got a father that's now gone home from the hospital, and they expect he's going to die. Or your worry is about a loved one that has already died, and you may be worried about how you're going to go on and how you're going to cope with it. Well, Mary Kay and our daughter Michelle last week visited a young lady, one of Michelle's best friends from law school. And she had been involved in an automobile accident, hit by a drunk driver. And she was seriously injured, and her oldest daughter was killed. And Mary Kay and Michelle were up there and spent time with them. And they spent time with her and her other 10-year-old daughter. A precious time. But it makes me think of these kind of times, this kind of a thing that we could worry about. It drives me back to 1 Corinthians 15. I heard that this verse quoted in our Sunday school class this morning by Brian Clark. And it's basically when this perishable will have put on the imperishable. That is, when we leave this body at the rapture of the church where Christ returns, and our body is gathered up to be with him. If it's dead, it gathers up out of the grave and is put back together. If we're still alive, we're caught up while we're living to be with him. But our body will change. And while this is a perishable body, we're all going to die. This body is perishable. That body is imperishable. And that's what it's talking about. That someday when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. That family up there does not know that passage and that kind of victory. One of my very favorite movies has another quote. His name is Wesley, And he says, death cannot stop true love. It can only delay it for a while. And if you know the movie Princess Bride, you would know Wesley saying that to the princess. In Budapest, a man goes to the rabbi and he complains. Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do? Rabbi answers, take your goat into the room with you. The man is incredulous, but the rabbi insists, do as I say and come back in a week. Well, a week later, he comes back looking more distraught than before. We can't stand it, he tells the rabbi. The goat is filthy. The rabbi tells him, go home, let the goat out, come back in a week. Well, a radiant man returns to the rabbi a week later, exclaiming, life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat and there's only 9 of us. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Getting the right perspective in life is this passage in Matthew chapter 6. Alex taught this passage the last time we visited at Fairbury Gardens, and he did it at the hospital and garden side. But in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, I think it's a classic passage in light of worry. He says, for this reason I say to you, don't be anxious for your life. That is, don't worry about your life. As to what you shall eat or what you shall drink or your body or what you shall put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious or worried, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious or worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then. Don't be worried then, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious. Don't be worried about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. 3 wall plaques. Number 3, God's will. God's will is simpler than we think. And I want you to go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you were in Go Eat Popcorn before, you were up there about Colossians, go one more book past Colossians and you will get to 1 Thessalonians. And I want you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Let me back up even to verse 16. Verse 18 is the key for today. But verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. We've basically seen those in the other two that we've looked at. But in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I know people that agonize over God's will for their lives. Mary Kay and I knew a couple down in Dallas when we were going to seminary. They never were really sure that it was God's will that they were there. They spent 4 years there with us, but they always had this doubt. Was it really God's will that we should come here? Some people put out a fleece. They test God. This comes from Judges chapter 6. Don't turn there. I'm not going to go there. But with this guy by the name of Gideon. Gideon wasn't real sure. God had talked to him and told him he was going to use him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Outnumbered, but miserable. But Gideon just is not real sure that, was this God speaking to me, or is this really the right thing to do, or should I do this? So he lays out a fleece. That is, he takes a sheepskin, lays it out, and he said to God, he said, if the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, I'll come out and check it. The fleece is wet, but the ground all around it's dry. No dew anywhere else. Then I'll know that this is God's will for me to be the deliverer of Israel. Well, he did it. And the fleece was soaking wet, ground dry as a bone. Well, he still wasn't sure. These are the kind of people God uses. Sound familiar? Sounds like us, doesn't it? Gideon. So Gideon says, well, let me test you one more time in this. Says, I'm going to put the fleece out. I'm going to put the lambskin out there. This time, if the fleece is dry, but the ground all around it's wet with dew, then I'll know that it's a message from God. So he does it. And then, of course, the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. So he was convinced this time, at least, that it was God's will. Now, trust me. I don't believe God does this kind of fleece thing anymore, because I think God's will is easier than that. I think it's simpler than what we try to make it, about who we're going to marry or where we're going to go to school or what kind of a job should I be seeking or what does this verse say about God's will? Giving thanks in everything. Give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let me go to one more passage, back in the Psalms. Psalms are about in the middle of your Bible, if you can find Psalm 100. If you open your Bible to the middle, generally, it'll probably open to pretty close to the Psalms, maybe a little bit farther into Isaiah. But if you're in Isaiah or you're in one of the prophets, come backwards to come to Psalms. And I want you in Psalm 100. This is called a Psalm of Thanksgiving. That's part of the Hebrew text. And it says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. I'll wait for you. Finding that Psalms. Psalms is a big book. It's easy to find Psalms. 100. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God, is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. That's why it's called a psalm of thanksgiving. Scottish minister Alexander White was known for his uplifting prayers in the pulpit, and he always found something for which to be grateful. One Sunday morning, the weather was so gloomy, it was so horrible, that one church member thought to himself, certainly the preacher won't think of anything for which to thank the Lord on this wretched day like this one. Well, much to his surprise, however, White began by praying, we thank thee, Lord, O God, that it is not always like this. 3 wall plaques of life. Power is all of God. You want power? Sometimes we equate power with political power and demonstration power and power with force and might and power with bombs or weapons. But this kind of power is talking about being filled with God's Spirit, and you can accomplish anything you need to do, and to dig deep into His Word while giving thanks. Worry. Are you plagued by worry? Some of us, we can drift into it. But we can cry out instead in prayer and thank Him. God's will. We need it. But it's simple. It amounts to acknowledging God and thanking Him. Always. We need all 3 of these wall plaques because life is hard. Where is the power when we have none? And sometimes that's how we feel. Or when we worry and it seems like it's the only course of action. Or what does God want? Where is God's will in our lives? Where is God? Period. In the giving of thanks, that is the beginning, and then the clouds can begin to part. When I think of Thanksgiving, there's that sign that's on a highway in Janson. What does that sign say? Ed, you remember that sign. Contentment is making what you have enough. It's being content with what you've got. Paul writes also in Philippians, he says, I learned to be content with a little, and I've learned to be content with a lot. But the word that he describes there as learning is a difficult word. It's a word that implies going through the struggle to get to that place. But we can be content. There's a fella in Lincoln that had been in prison 3 times, but got saved. His life changed, transformed. He and the girl that he married. And they became good friends of us when we were in Lincoln for a while. And we send each other a Bible verse every day. And that's Chad. And Chad sent me a Bible verse here just a few days ago. And it was from Numbers chapter 6. Now, this passage in Numbers, the context is God is telling Moses to tell Aaron to bless the people like this. And he says, if you wish this blessing on the people, he says, then God says, so shall they invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. Well, I'm going to bless you with this section from Numbers. He also said, I talked to him shortly after, he says, of all books that a passage like this appears in, I wouldn't have guessed it's Numbers. And I've heard of this passage, but I could not have told you it comes out of the book of Numbers, which is kind of an obscure book for something so beautiful. And now I give it to you on this eve of Thanksgiving. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. That's our prayer today. That's our closing prayer. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Shalom.